No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Winnipeg Jets dropping a 4-3 decision after they lose to the San Jose Sharks tonight. The Jets had a 2-0 lead. That was not enough. A good lesson for the Winnipeg Jets tonight, gentlemen, in that it is a 60-minute game, and no matter who you're playing, no matter even if on paper you are more talented than that team, if you do not play for all 60 minutes and you do not execute, you will end up losing the contest, and that is what happened to the Winnipeg Jets tonight. They take that 2-0 lead, and frankly, from my perspective, guys, they just stopped playing. They thought that they could coast on their reputation. They thought they could coast on their skill, but it was not enough. The San Jose Sharks, a young team, a team that is quote-unquote in the midst of a rebuild, said, okay, you're not going to do it. We're going to take it to you. And as a result, the San Jose Sharks with a deserving 4-3 victory while the Winnipeg Jets still search for their first win of the season. I am your host, Drew Mandel, Dave Manouk in the top right, Ezra Ginsberg in the bottom middle. Gentlemen, good to see you again. It has been a whopping 12 and a half hours since we last got together.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, Drew, I cut you off there. I didn't realize you were going to introduce ourselves there, but yeah, I mean, you know, what's probably the most disappointing about this game, in addition to the, you know, 2-0 lead that they had after one period, is that, you know, the 2-0 lead that they had was that the Jets, you know, players that scored were the two guys that we talked about, in addition to Cole Perfetti, that, you know, really had to prove, that they had a better showing in them than they did in the first game. Andrew Copp and Pierre-Luc Dubois, of course, especially Dubois. So, you know, just picks up a rebound goal. In the first period, and you know, it's just one of those games where, again, special teams is an area right now that is not really firing on all cylinders for the Jets, both on the power play and shorthanded. Right, you've given up four power play goals in two games, and you've also given up a shorthanded goal. And you're right, Drew. I mean, the San Jose Sharks, we know they were the last team to play their opening game, so they're fired up, right? Because they're at home. It's their first game of the season. You've got five players. We talked about that on the Saturday morning show. William Eklund. He picked up his first NHL point on the goal by Tomáš Hertl in the third period. And, you know, yeah, like the Jets made it a one-goal game there. But, I mean, when you're down two goals late, I mean, you're obviously, you know, putting yourselves in a bad position. So, the Jets have to clean up their plays. And, you know, when you consider, you know, the Blake Wheeler giveaway, and then at the end of the second period, if you remember, Neil Pionk was a little bit high in the neutral zone. And then Stastny tried to, you know, pass him the puck back, and then it resulted in a really good solid chance with Timo Meier, and Hellebuck made a save. So there were just a lot of turnovers, and I just thought at many points in this game the Jets were just not as solid as you'd like to see in their own end. And just, you know, you mentioned executing, attention to detail just didn't seem to be there for big chunks of this game.
I would agree with that. I would agree with everything he had, as he has said so far, Dave. To me, and obviously you can expand on what Ezzy said, but to me, the Winnipeg Jets, the word I would use, that not the whole team, because there's certain guys who just don't know how to play that way, the way I'm about to describe. But I thought the Jets top line in particular played with arrogance tonight. I thought that they were arrogant in their effort. I thought they were arrogant in how they approached the game. And as a result, when you have arrogance, I don't care who you're playing against. None of them are... There's almost nobody in the NHL who can play with arrogance and get away with it on a regular basis. Maybe Connor McDavid, but you don't see him playing with arrogance that often. I thought Connor, Scheifele, and Wheeler tonight need to look in the mirror. I thought there was a lot of arrogance in their game tonight.
Yeah, I mean, let's focus on some of the things. Yeah, I mean, sure. I think there's definitely something to be said. I thought that they have to be your best players, and they weren't the best players throughout the course of the game. I thought Pierre-Luc Dubois had an excellent first period. I think that's the first period that, you know, Jets fans are hoping they'll see replicated throughout the course of 60 minutes. And there were things we saw, you know, that were better in the second and third periods, but his first period was excellent. I thought that was something that you know, he had a good first period. Brendan Dillon had a good first period. Nikolai Ehlers was noticeable, had a couple of opportunities. And it's interesting for me was that I actually thought the refs were going to let the game flow pretty well. And they did until in the first period without calling a penalty up until like the last, you know, whatever minute and a half it was with, you know, for the Jets to get a power play. And then, you know, you're thinking this is going to be it's a pretty good game flow. And then of course the second period happens and it kind of gets reversed, but there's no excuse. I mean, you take a 2-0 lead, shorthanded goal should give you that feeling of a boost. And instead you fritter it away. The shorthanded giveaway, the goal was, I didn't think the play by Wheeler at the line was good. You know, why is Blake Wheeler playing PK? I mean, that just is, to me, I don't even understand that decision. The whole idea of Blake Wheeler, if you want to keep him fresh, why is he playing penalty kill? You've got other guys who can play penalty kill. Like, it just doesn't make sense why Blake Wheeler is on the PK, given the fact that, you know, there's a whole thing about, like, not burning through. I mean, the idea of having a team that's more balanced is you don't need to over rely on guys like Blake Wheeler in every facet of the game. So why is he there? And he goes in, sorry, that was in the penalty kill. That was on the power play. I made a mistake. He was playing penalty kill, which was a separate issue.
3 minutes, 29 seconds of penalty killing time for Blake Wheeler.
Sorry, there's two things I'm talking about. One is I didn't agree with the idea of him playing on the penalty kill. And then the other thing was just on the power play with him on the blue line. I mean, he goes in for the pinch and they score shorthanded. So, you know, I just don't understand sometimes some of the decision-making. I like the idea of bumping Jansen Harkins up. I thought he deserved to get bumped up. He gets rewarded with the goal, but
he's a guy when I was talking about arrogance, he doesn't know how to play with arrogance because that's not his game. Is grit and grind and effort, and that's always been his game, and that's the way he's made it to the NHL. He's not flash. There's no style points in Jansen Harkins' game, but it's effective. Because he scored to make it 4-3 today. He's noticeable, you know, sometimes noticeable for flailing into the boards, but still noticeable. And so you need some of that desperation, I think. And again, it's only the second game of the season. So that has to be the caveat attached to everything. But you need some desperation from your best players. And you just don't see it from the Connor Scheifele Wheeler line. At no point do you ever in that game when it's the third period and it's 4-2 and you want them to be able to take over and impose their will, and you just don't see it from them.
Well, let's go back though, Drew. You know, I agree with you, by the way. Let's go back to that fourth goal though. You mentioned Connor Scheifele Wheeler. Like Brendan Dillon, you can say that, you know, maybe that wasn't the best pass, right? The outlet pass. Dillon made the pass to Connor, mm-hmm. right? So there's the turnover at the neutral zone. And then so the Dillon comes up, and I forget who he was stepping up on, but he's a little bit out of position. And then the initial shot comes, and it's Kyle Connor who has to pick up Tomas Hertl, and he's late to pick him up. So really, Connor makes two mistakes on that goal, right? And so to me, that was in a game in which you're trailing, you were up 2-0, you're down a goal, and you know you're obviously struggling on special teams. Like, that's just inexcusable for Connor not to get back harder in that type of situation. I understand, like, it was a bad turnover, like the Dillon pass to Connor. And obviously, you know, we're not going to necessarily say that that was the reason why the Jets lost the game. But, like, that was just an awful shift for Connor.
Hellebuck makes, in that sequence that you're talking about there, Ezzie, Hellebuck makes two very good saves to begin with. And Kyle Connor just does. And look, we know Kyle Connor is not very good, and I'm being charitable when I say that, in his own zone. That's not news, Dave. But you have to tie up the guy's stick in front that leads to end the you know, how many saves can you expect Connor Hellebuck to make there? I mean, that's not on Hellebuck. He's made your first two saves. You know, usually it's goalie makes the first save and then somebody's there to clear away the rebound. Kyle Connor is just floating by, not tying up a stick, not doing anything to prevent the grade A scoring opportunity. It's just arrogance. It's just, look, nobody wants Kyle Connor to be a Selke winner. It's not going to be in his game. Nobody's saying that, you know, we want him to be a 15 goal scorer and become a Selke candidate, because that's just not going to be a realistic goal for him, nor should it be. But you have to put in the necessary effort, and you have to put in the necessary demands to not let a point blank chance happen when all you have to do in that instance is tie up the stick.
It's to your point, Drew, about the effort. Like, you watch that replay, and yeah, we all watched it live, obviously. But you know, there just wasn't the hustle. Like, if he would have hustled 15% more, then he would have, like, it was Timo Meier, if I'm not mistaken, who had the original shot. You're right. Hellebuck made an unbelievable first save. But if Connor just hustled a little bit more, like I said, like, we're not expecting, you know, even, you know, 50% more, then he probably would have got there in time, and that wouldn't have been a goal, and it would only have been a one goal game as opposed to a two goal game. But let's be honest, like, you know, the Jets made a bunch of unforced errors. Dave mentioned, you know, Blake Wheeler's, like, that was just the Andrew Cogliano, say whatever you want about him. He's played over 1,000 games. He might be towards the end of his career, but I mean, he's one of the fastest guys in the league, I think, still. I mean, he's still really fast. Rudolph Balcers, by the way, boys, was also very quick. You know, it almost reminds you of Ehlers. Obviously doesn't have the, you know, necessarily the same goal scoring potential, but you know, I mentioned, you know, Stastny and Pionk, you know, they had a little, you know, exchange at the end of the third period where Pionk was out of position, and then Stastny tried to get it back to him. That resulted in a chance for Meier, which Hellebuck made the save. So, like, there were a lot of, you know, basically, you know, costly turnovers in this game, and you just can't make those types of plays when you've lost your opening game and you're trying to get back into the game after you're down two goals. So, you know, even though the first period was impressive, I agree with Dave. I mean, like, Dubois came out and he clearly had something to prove. Yeah. He didn't have the type of game that he wanted in Anaheim, and he was really good. And that line of Dubois, Ehlers, and Kopp was probably the Jets' best line. We have to, you know, it's not all negative, too. Like, we have to give Jansen Harkins a shout-out here. Like, he gets rewarded. Harkins and Vesalainen in the third period were moved up to the third line with Adam Lowry. And, you know, that was just a smart play by Harkins, right? Like, Stanley clearly missed the net. And Harkins just, that was an opportunistic goal. I don't even think Aiden Hill knew he was there. So we got to give Harkins credit. And so there were some good performances. And right, I agree with you, Drew. It's the second game of the season. But I don't think what you've seen through the first two games. There's a lot of, I think, lackadaisical play coming from the Jets at times.
They strike me, Dave, as a team that read their press clippings before the season started and thought that they'd be able just to walk through the first couple games. They you know, soft schedule to start. They can just, you know, show up and they can win the games. Well, you know, that isn't the way it works. You have to put forth the effort necessary to deserve to win. And if the Jets put forward the same effort that the Sharks did tonight, will they more likely than not win the game? Yeah, because they have more talent. But when you don't put forth that effort, you're not going to win the game. And it, you know, yes, we can give the shout outs to Jansen Harkins, but I mean, let's be honest. In all the games we've seen guys like Jansen Harkins play, when have you ever said, oh, he's played a lousy game? He just doesn't, because, you know, his game is so simple that it's not usually anything that's bad about his game, Dave. He's always effective or noticeable in his own way. And when he's not noticeable, it's not detrimental. Tonight, some of the best Jets players, the guys who are the highest paid guys and should be the best, were detrimental to the Jets. And that can't ever be the case, David.
Yeah. I mean, I'm certainly not going to disagree with you. I mean, that is a fair assessment, Drew. I mean, I would caution that, and I'm not trying to be a Jets fanboy because I'm certainly not that, but it is two games into the season. Now you've got some things that you're going to need to correct, and there's some poor play. And look, maybe they took the Ducks and the Sharks lightly. I mean, these are two teams that weren't given much regard by many analysts, maybe some on this program. And I think that's, you know, because they had, you know, look, the Sharks were in the midst of chaos, and the Ducks are a young team, so they weren't given a lot of regard. But the reality is that, you know, this is an early point of the season. Do guys have to play better? Absolutely. I mean, does Mark Scheifele have to play a better game? Does Blake Wheeler have to play a better game? Does Kyle Connor have to play a better game? Yeah. Are you happy with some of the things you saw from Pierre-Luc Dubois and Nikolai Ehlers and Andrew Kopp as a trio? Yeah, you are. Adam Lowry was physical And, you know, you got to give Adam Lowry credit for that play, the shorthanded one to Andrew Copp, because it was him recognizing the miscommunication behind the Sharks net that set up that opportunity for the Jets and to give them that 2-0 lead. So I thought Lowry was physical and trying to throw his weight around. You know, I'm not saying that the leash is long or the runway is unlimited for this Jets team, but you know, you're not going to blow it up. I know folks are fired up. That's what I love about the chat, though. I mean, I love reading it. Sometimes I'm not even paying attention to YouTube, bozos. I'm just reading what's going on in the chat because it's pretty freaking hilarious. But, and I get it. I get why people are passionate. That's why they tune into the show and that's why they watch the games. But, you know, the truth is that the Jets are a measured team. There's not going to be any sort of, you know, crazy response yet because they're going to allow them to have that opportunity. I think it's just my opinion, but I think they're going to allow this team an opportunity to gel together, grow together. I mean, you've had the line of Scheifele, Wheeler and Connor together for 10,000 years, mm-hmm. but there's other things that you're trying to get in the defense and you're trying to institute a new type of game. So we're going to see what that's going to look like. Again, what did I say before the season began was really, we'll see what this team is, you know, 10 to 15 games in. And that to me is still kind of that barometer of what you're going to look at for this Winnipeg Jets club.
And I wonder, guys, if Maurice, you know, maybe looks at making a move on that top line. And like, it goes back to kind of, you know, we've kind of joked about it on the show, but like, you know, Connor Scheifele, Wheeler, we know the advanced stats sometimes, you know, suggest that isn't the personnel that should be together, right? Like, everybody knows that Scheifele and Connor should be on the top line. So let's not kid ourselves here who we're talking about getting the promotion to the top line. It's obviously Ehlers, right? And mm-hmm. I think the advanced stats say that, you know, if Ehlers was on that line, the line would be much better. Then you have to figure out what you're going to do with Wheeler, because I think, you know, nobody really expects him to be an $8 million third line player. But, you know, based on the way he's playing so far, that might be where, you know, he should be. So, you know, he hasn't had a very good two games. Obviously, he picked up an assist on Connor's goal in the game against Anaheim. But, you know, going back to what we said, I mean, Dubois, Ehlers, and Copp, they look fine tonight. I mean, you wonder if Harkins starts the game against Minnesota on that third line and gets rewarded. We're not sure what's going to happen, where Perfetti is going to play. He started the game, obviously, on the third line with Lowry and Stastny, but we're not sure, you know, where he's going to factor in on Monday night. But, you know, you wonder, you know, like, even though it's only two games, Dave, like, these two games probably couldn't have gone any worse, right? Like, they weren't blowout games, but, you know, the Jets shot themselves in the foot a lot. And, mm-hmm. you know, when you're giving up, you know, all these goals on the power play and you're not executing on the power play, it's a problem. Like, and, you know, they just didn't get the boost from Scheifele tonight. Like, you know, Scheifele's return didn't give them the boost that they wanted. And you know what? Even though, you know, we love to give Drew a hard time and we like to disagree with him a lot, I think there was quite a bit of arrogance in his game. If you remember back in the 90s, you know, kind of wanted me to mention Rick the Model Martel. If you remember, he used to spray them with arrogance. But obviously, you know, this wasn't the type of game where you could go in there and have these types of turnovers and this type of performance. I agree. I think the Connor Scheifele Wheeler line actually hurt the Jets tonight.
Yeah, and that can't happen. That just simply can't happen. I'm not saying they have to be world beaters every night, but they can't hurt you, and they can't be detrimental to your cause. And I mean, we can't go any further tonight without talking about the special teams, because it's now been two games in a row where the penalty kill has been abysmal for the Winnipeg Jets. And if you remember back last year, for a big chunk of time, the penalty kill was abysmal, and then it got really good, you know, later in the season. But I mean, the way they are right now, it just does look like a bit of a tire fire for the Winnipeg Jets as it pertains to the special teams. I mean, we talked about the you know, Blake Wheeler on the penalty kill, and I mean, 3 minutes, 2 minutes and 50 seconds. No, sorry. 3:29 on the penalty kill for Blake Wheeler and 2 minutes and 50 seconds for Paul Stastny on the penalty kill. And, you know, yes, Wheeler's 5-on-5 minutes were down. In fact, Ehlers played more at 5-on-5 than Wheeler did. But I'm really, I'm not certain as to why all of a sudden Blake Wheeler is being deployed on a regular basis in a penalty killing role, or why Paul Stastny is now in a penalty killing role. I mean, Adam Lowry was 3:28 on the penalty kill, and Andrew Copp was 3:27. but I'm just not quite sure what's going on with that penalty kill and the logic behind the sort of redeployment of guys who haven't traditionally been known as penalty killers for the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Like, I mean, we've seen Blake Wheeler kill penalties in the past, maybe not so much, you know, last year, but like, you know, why isn't a player like Jansen Harkins, for example, you know, getting some of that ice time? I mean, like Dave can tell you from the amount of games that he watched playing for the Moose, like Harkins is a good penalty killer. And, you know, we talked about that, like Harkins has played, has killed penalties for the Jets as well. So, yeah, I mean, we know Wheeler right now, his bread and butter is the power play. Like, it's not on the penalty kill. You have other players on this team that can kill penalties. Andrew Kopp, Adam Lowry, namely, you know, we mentioned Harkins. So I'm not sure, you know, what's happening here, but the special teams are a big issue through the first two games. It's not like, you know, the Jets have just given up, you know, a power play goal or two and, you know, the power play is okay. Like, the power play has been pretty bad, even though the first game, you know, the first couple power plays in the first period against Anaheim were pretty good. And again, you know, like for those tuning in now, we're not hitting the panic button at all, but there are what we're saying is there are some things that you have to be concerned about. If you're the Jets, if you're Paul Maurice and the coaching staff, you know, you have to have your team ready to play more of a 60 minute game, because this was a game, it almost seemed like, and it was a, you know, a beautiful effort by Adam Lowry, you know, like he deserves a lot of credit for Andrew Kopp's goal, but it almost seemed like after the Jets went up 2-0, they thought, you know, this is going to be easy and we're going to leave San Jose with a nice win and we're going to be, you know, have a record of 1-1. And San Jose pushed back, and, you know, Rudolph Balcers is somebody we talked about. He was involved in that Carlson trade coming over from Ottawa. You know, he's a really talented player. And we talked about William Eklund this morning. Like, he picks up his first NHL point, as we mentioned. And you know, a very talented player. Like, this is the future of the team. Like, these guys, you know, Jonathan Dahlin, these types of players. You know, Logan Couture, the you know, Brent Burns, Erik Karlsson, Mark-Edward Vlasic. Like, these guys are towards the end of their career. So there's skill on the team. But still, the Jets had no reason to make it as easy as they did for the Sharks, Drew.
Dave, when it's 2-0 for the Jets and they get that power play opportunity and, you know, you're up 2-0 against the San Jose team, you should be feeling pretty good about yourself to begin with, because again, you have more talent than they do. You are, you know, quote unquote, a better team than they are. It's 2-0, and that you just can't give up that shorthanded goal in that situation to Andrew Cogliano. You have to be smarter. Even if that power play expires and you don't score, it's still 2-0. All you did is just give the Sharks life there. And you can see it. That is your turning point, as far as I'm concerned. It's 2-0. Cogliano gets the goal. It's 2-1. And the Jets were on their heels the rest of the game. I mean, there was no pushback. There was no, you know, from that point on, it was the San Jose Sharks show with the Winnipeg Jets as the Washington Generals.
Well, I mean, as he pointed out to me when we were watching the third period, the Jets had been outshot 19-7, and I think it was 8-1 in the third. It
can't happen.
So, I mean, it's a pretty bad statement when you just don't possess the puck, and you have a team that should be able to possess the puck. You have no excuse. You took a day off on Thursday. You practiced on Friday.
Yeah.
So you've got time between games. The Sharks haven't played in over a week. Their last preseason game, they haven't played a regular season game. As one of you guys pointed out to start the show, their last preseason game was a week ago. So they're the team that should be, you know, not really feeling it. Which maybe you could say they didn't in the first, because the Jets kind of came out the way they did. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, the Jets, this is a bounce back effort from a Winnipeg team that didn't have a great game in Anaheim. And that's what you're going to see. And Drew, you may be right. I mean, we don't know obviously what these guys are thinking. We can only see what we can only base it on what we were able to see. But yeah, it did seem like there was almost like an arrogance, like a take a foot off the gas sort of mentality that was the result of, you know, maybe feeling comfortable. And so all of a sudden that second period happens and a game that shouldn't have been the way it was. And you can lament the non-calls, right? Nikolai Ehlers, breakaway, Brett Burns, two slashes on the hands. That easily could have been a penalty, could have changed the course of the game.
That should have been a penalty.
Yeah, no, it was absolutely a penalty. Yeah. It's just that obviously they didn't call it, but that goes both ways, right? There's instances where the Jets didn't get penalized for things, but you know, I think this is like, you're not going to have a closed door meeting after a game like this. It's too early in the season for that point, but you know, you just cannot go 0-3 in to the start of the season, coming back home and playing two games, right? You've got to, you know, back here in Winnipeg before you go back on the road, go back out to the West Coast to play these teams, including the Kings. But if you're the Jets, like right now, you it's not about excuses. You're going to, you know, get asked the questions, but you have to just change things up. And how that's going to look, I don't know, because are you going to keep these lines together? Are you going to say, well, our power play has been abysmal. We have too much talent for it to be abysmal. Do we move Nikolaj Ehlers finally on the first power play unit? Is it finally going to be time to accept that Nikolaj Ehlers needs to be on that first power play unit? Maybe you need to overbalance it, because here's a crazy notion. You need to score. You know, the man advantage is supposed to be an advantage. So mm-hmm. when it's being detrimental to your success, again, I'm the guy who talked about runway. I'm not, you know, hitting that panic button that Ty and LeBrocquery once, you know, brought out and said it's engaged. But I just think it's one of those, a function of that idea that you need to change things up. You can't just, what's the definition of insanity? You know, trying the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Well,
I thought the definition of insanity was the illegal curve hockey show.
That's the other definition of insanity. When you look up in Fetsanity, it says what I just said. And then the second one is just a picture of the three of us doing this.
I agree, though, Dave, with your point about Ehlers. Like, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he's on the first power play unit against Minnesota. And you mentioned the Kings. The Wild beat the Kings tonight. The Wild are 2-0, right? So we know the Jets and the Wild, like, those are going to be the teams that are neck and neck in the Central. Like, I think we all agree, and most people agree, that right now you would, you know, put the Jets ahead of the Wild. But the Wild are probably the third best team in the Central right now, third or fourth, right? Like, depending on, you know, which team's outlook you like better, right? Like, I think Dallas and St. Louis are probably in there as well. But, like, we know that rivalry, Dave always likes to bring it up, friendly Manitoba versus Minnesota Knights. Like, you cannot go 0-3 back to Winnipeg for your home opener against Anaheim. So this is an even more important game. And even though, you know, we've mentioned the panic button and how ridiculous it is to hit it after two games, guys, like, points are very important. And this is a Jets team that obviously has, you know, aspirations of a Stanley Cup. Like, Stanley Cup, not getting into the playoffs or getting into the second round. Like, this is a win now team. Winning, you don't bring in Nate Schmidt and Brendan Dillon unless you want to go on a Stanley Cup run. So even though it's only two games, I think you do have to be a little bit concerned about, I think it's the way that you've lost that you have to be concerned about.
I think that's exactly it. It's the way that you've lost. It's the, you know, if your effort was there and you lost despite having a good effort, well, you can live with that. I mean, you know, it's a results oriented business. So, I mean, you can only live with that. You can't necessarily live with that game in and game out, but you know, if you get goalied or if the puck just doesn't bounce your way, then that's fine. You deal with that. That's the course of an 82 game season. Those kind of vagaries are going to occur. It's just the effort not being the right. You know, the Paul Maurice talks about it, you know, they looked right, or the game looked right for us and we didn't get the results.
Well, it looked right for one period, right, Drew? Like,
yeah, it looked right for the first period, and then it looked right, you know, when the Jets got the shorthanded goal, and then it stopped looking right. And when it stops looking right at that point in time, it's, to me, it's not anything San Jose has done differently. It's not like San Jose has made some sort of wonderful in-game adjustment that put the Jets on their heels. That's just not how it works. You know, it certainly didn't work that way at all tonight. You know, San Jose's game looked the same from start to finish, for better or worse. It's the Jets game that diminished. And when that happens, that's a real problem, Dave.
Well, the only thing I'll try and inject some thoughts of what happened in 2017. Some
positivity, Dave.
A little positivity, just to give folks a little bit of context. Not to say that what happened previously is necessarily indicative or going to predict what's going to happen in the future. But in 2017-18, when the Jets went on their big run, remember, they lost to the Leafs in game one, 7-2. Then they lost to the Flames, 6-3. So they started off 0-2. And then
if you remember that third game,
it was
Thanksgiving Monday. They went to Edmonton.
Yeah,
and they took a 2-0 lead in Edmonton. Remember, because it was the game against the Leafs and the game against the Flames. They led early in both those games, and then they got blown out very quickly thereafter. They gave up those leads. They went into Edmonton. They took a 2-0 lead, and then Edmonton.
Didn't Ehlers have two goals in that game? I can't
remember. Ehlers had a hat trick.
Yeah, that was like the first. I'm pretty sure that was the first away hat trick for the Jets.
Because so the Jets took a 2-0 lead. Bufflin didn't play that game in Edmonton. He was injured. He played the first two games. He got injured.
I can't believe you remember that, Drew.
I was doing post game that game. I remember I was doing I did the post game for that game with our buddy Slick Rick. Exactly right. And it was 2-0 for the Jets in Edmonton. And then the Oilers came back, bang, bang, and tied it up. And you're thinking, here we go again. And then it was Ehlers, to Dave's point there, who got the Jets the, who took, gave them the lead back. And the Jets then went on to win that game. And we remember how the rest of that season went. It went very swimmingly for the Winnipeg Jets. So again,
well, I'm not suggesting that somehow it's going to be 2017-18 all over again.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying.
You need to see that pushback, and that's the problem tonight, is that you didn't see that pushback. You didn't see the Sharks punched them in the face, sometimes a little bit literally, and in this case, figuratively, and you didn't see the Jets push back. You didn't
see the scrap, Jets, by the way, between Middleton and Stanley.
Right, that's what I was saying about the literally getting punched in the face, and that's, to me, where the big question mark entering next week, where you got the three games next week. You have Minnesota to end the road trip. You come home to face Anaheim, and depending on the health of John Gibson, they're probably going to be an angry Anaheim team, and then you have another division game against the Nashville Predators. So,
who have looked terrible, by the way.
Yeah, the season which started with all this terrible optimism, where you had, you know, a soft schedule to begin. Well, the Jets have wasted the soft schedule of the first two games of this road trip. We'll see what happens on Tuesday. We'll see what happens again next week when they return home for the first couple home openers before they head back out on the road to the West Coast. Let's take our commercial break. When we come back, we're going to hear from Jets head coach Paul Maurice. I have it queued up on my second screen. I can tell you it was a quick post game with the Winnipeg Jets head coach. Not a happy camper tonight. Much more to come. We'll talk about what's coming up next week as well with the two games, with the games in Minnesota, and then, of course, the Anaheim home opener. Much more to come. It's now quarter after. It's not Saturday night anymore. It's Sunday morning. You've been with us since Saturday morning. Now it's Sunday morning. Stick with us. You got nowhere else to be. It's really late.
Smash the like button while you're waiting.
Smash the like button. There you go. It is the Illegal Curve post game show. We're live on YouTube. We're live on all of our social media platforms. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve post game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you on this Sunday morning. Now, it has been a very long day, but a very entertaining day. The Moose dropping a decision, their season opener in Toronto, and we'll hear from Dave Minuk a little bit later on in the post-game show about the Moose game this afternoon. Ezzy, you're on the lookout for the toughest comment, courtesy of our good friends at Tough Duck.
So Ezzy's a lot.
Ezzy's going to announce the winner of the toughest comment of the night, taking place in our chat room tonight. You'll win a toque from our friends at Tough Duck, so we'll stay tuned to that for the next couple of minutes as well. Gentlemen, let's see if I can cue up the Winnipeg Jets head coach, Paul Maurice, hear from the Jets bench boss after tonight's loss in San Jose and what he thought about the Winnipeg Jets' performance.
Strong, and things maybe got away, either special teams or the speed. Where did you...
That would be where it went, and then the speed came into play. You know, we shorthanded goal. We're struggling a bit on our penalty kill, but we got slow in the middle of the game. I thought we moved the puck easily, and maybe that was their nerves early. And then we continued to try to do that. I think we skated anywhere near the way we can or we need to win that.
There are moments where your players are talking the same thing, either moving slowly or maybe even sometimes moving too fast, and there's a gap between forwards and where did you...
Yeah, I mean, that's almost the same thing. It's just out of sync on your transition game. But at the end of it, there are lots of times defensively we were moving too slow. It wasn't just with the puck, and that would be the biggest focus there. That, well, with the puck is no part of what we do without it. And I just thought we didn't skate well enough in both halves.
Game had some bite to it as well. Is that a home opener thing, or what was happening?
No, I think you get people back in the building. The energy's up more on both teams. I think you're going to see that more hotly contested, even teams who haven't seen each other for a while. So everybody's trying to establish their territory.
You mentioned on penalty kill, some new personnel, some new faces, some new combos. Andrew Kopp was mentioning that maybe there's a slight disconnect between the forwards and the D, and it's just kind of ironing out those wrinkles. Is that kind of...
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. We were much better in the face-off circle tonight, which really hurt us the last game. You know, we did score shorty, but, you know, we've given up 4-2 games, and that's you can't win like that.
And we've got some good PK results from Weir in the past. That's the sure veteran, great read. So. Yep.
It just kind of takes some time off the other guys, too. We ended up running Lyles and Andrew quite hard. So I'd like to find six guys again, and we can spread that out a little.
The science kind of, the mission is to find, like, that's
exactly... Yeah, just some chemistry, and it's the chemistry with the forwards and the D together as well.
is that kind of here with Dubois, kind of that first period especially, that, I mean, you guys?
Yeah, they were good. I mean, I thought he could have had a bunch, and that's a great sign for us.
Do you take into Minnesota with process being probably the most important this time of year?
Well, the foundation of what we do has to be fast on both sides of the puck, regardless of routes and schemes and things like that with the puck. We've got to get a hell of a lot quicker.
Short and sweet, boys.
Short but sweet. Short but sweet. The Winnipeg Jets head coach, Paul Maurice, and I thought he was bang on with his comments about the skating and the transition of the Jets. They didn't seem in sync. And I'm not going to say bye, bye, bye right now, but they just didn't. Is that the Backstreet Boys or is that NSYNC? Did I get that reference right? Neither of you were going to picked up on that one.
That was in a punk Dave, rock. Dave's come
throwing
on,
his arms up in the air. Somebody in the chat.
Yeah, if you have like a face to face reference or like a Bad Religion Rancid, reference, maybe, but you
know,
come on,
no effects.
Or Beastie Boys. Let's go, Drew.
Sorry. But anyways, you know, I thought that was it. You, a lot of the passes, I thought the transition game, which was supposed to be a strength for the Jets. Again, lots of passes in the skates, lots of, there you go. I was right. That is an NSYNC reference. Thank you, Shark Mifley. Always appreciate the shout out in the chat. But, you know, they just didn't seem, they haven't been on the same page in taking the puck out of their own zone yet. And is that going to be a function? Is that going to get better as they get more familiar with one another? Well, the Jets certainly hope that's the case. But tonight you saw that as a struggle. And as a result, especially when the Sharks took the lead, they put five guys sort of, you know, at the red line or between the red line and the blue line. And the Jets just couldn't hit anything with speed. And you're not going to win without speed in this league. It's just really that simple. If your passes aren't connecting, and if the other team has a couple goal lead, well, you're not going to be able to just, you know, dipsy doodle through five guys. That's not the way it's going to work. And so that's really an area of concern for the Jets so far, in addition to, of course, the special teams, which is just a bit of a disaster. And I mean, you heard what Paul Maurice said there. He's trying to take some minutes away from Kopp and Lowry, giving it to Stasny and Wheeler. Is interesting, as I see Dave's eyes sort of bug out of his head a little bit there. You know, Stasny and Wheeler are two guys who are at the downside of their careers, and I'm not sure that, you know, taking away their 5-on-5 ice time or reducing that's reasonable, especially for Wheeler. You give that to Ehlers. I'm not sure it makes any more sense to add to his ice time by giving him penalty killing responsibilities. Blake Wheeler led all Winnipeg Jets players, forwards or defensemen, tonight in time on ice, which is
bizarre.
It's rare you see a forward leading a team in time on ice, and then it's really weird when it, you know, I'm not sure why that's the role for Blake Wheeler at this point.
No, and a lot of that, as we've talked about, is because of his time on the power play and the penalty kill. Like, look at Stastny's a great defensive player, so I understand him playing a little bit on the PK, and not saying that Wheeler is a poor defensive player, but I just don't know that you want him playing that much on the PK. I mean, that might just be me or us, but I mean, don't you want Kopp and Lowry out there? Like we talked about, you know, Harkins, like, you know, you look around the NHL, I mean, you have a lot of defensive specialists out there on teams penalty killing units, right? Mm-hmm. Like you have players that are out there that don't get power play time. Right. And when you're talking about Wheeler and Stastny, both of those players get power play time. Right. So, yeah, I agree with that. That's a little bit peculiar, but obviously Maurice has his reasoning. We might not agree with it, but he is the head coach. Right. So, I mean, it goes back to what we talked about before, though, guys. Like, you know, the Connor Scheifele Wheeler line's got to be better. It's only one game that they've been together because, right, like Scheifele wasn't there for the first game. But, you know, when you have those types of turnovers, and again, I'm a big believer, when you have those types of egregious turnovers, I know Dave M likes that word egregious, so I like to get it in there at least once every time the Jets lose. But
I think he's actually going to say you've been spending an egregious amount of time at his house today, as you somehow are still there.
Absolutely. Good use of the word egregious, Drew. I think, you know, we'll see who spells it better, but you know, the Jets just can't make, you know, that many mistakes. And we documented, you know, three of them, and there were a few more, but they just have to be sharper in their own zone. They have to be sharper on special teams. Like, and again, I am of the belief that, you know, this Jets team is going to be a playoff team. And I do think that they can go very far in the playoffs just because of, we know why. I mean, you know, the skill up front, the defense is better, and you've got a Vezina winner between the pipes. But these first two games have been pretty concerning. And, you know, you're facing a Wild team, as we talked about, you know, 10 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Wild are 2-0, and this is a team that, you know, the Wild are, when the Wild are playing a team like the Jets, they know that's a team you're going to have to go through to get to the conference final, right? Like, Colorado's the obvious one. We all know who the best, most skilled team in the Central is, but the Jets are right behind the Avalanche. So, you know, this is not going to be an easy game, and the Wild are a feisty team, a good defensive team.
You talk about the Wild, Ezzy. I mean, the Wild are on the West Coast as well. They're in California, just like the Jets were, and the Wild took care of their business. The Wild went into Anaheim, and I believe that was last night, if I'm not mistaken. They beat the Anaheim Ducks last night. Well, then they go second half of back-to-back in LA, so, I mean, no real travel, but they beat the Kings. So they got 4 points when they on the games they quote-unquote should win. The Jets, in the games that they should win, got 0 points. I mean, so there's, you know, leg up already for the Minnesota Wild. And again, it's very early in the season. It's only two games. So, you know, of course, no one, you know, we're not advocating for ripping our hair out. I don't have any left to rip out. That ship sailed a long time ago. But I mean, it just tells you that, you know, one of the teams the Jets are fighting with, you know, the Minnesota Wild took care of their business. The Jets did not take care of their business so far this season, Dave.
That's a true statement, Drew. It's hard for me to really add anything terribly insightful for it, because we've spent the entire two post-game shows so far now talking about the Jets not doing what they needed to do. So it's time for them to, you know, like I said, you don't need to do a lot of soul searching, but they have to figure their stuff out. They have to figure out, you know, the power play. We've said it with the raw weapons they have. And I understand that they're deploying it differently, and now you've got Nate Schmidt there, so there is a bit of a learning curve with respect to the power play. But you know, there's just too much firepower on this team for them to be, you know, impotent. And so to me, you know, you're going to have a travel day tomorrow, so there's no media availability on Sunday. You got to just, like I said, this is on the coaching staff. I mean, they've got to show. I don't remember when the comment came up, but I mean, which I should, because I'm the one who threw it up on the screen. But the truth is that, you know, they've got to show some creativity. The coaching staff does, because sure, I get it that you're trying to get the Jets to play a different style and you want them to play faster. And it's not just about being good defensively. Now it's going to be about the transition and you're changing elements of the game. And I understand that, but you also have a training camp, right? That's the whole point of training camp, is to really, really refine that. So, you know, I get that it's not going to be perfect on day one of the regular season. It's going to be a work in progress, but it's got to be a better work in progress than what we've seen today.
It certainly does have to be a better work in progress. Dave, quick word on the Moose game this afternoon against the Marlies in Toronto.
The Moose lost 5-1. Not a great game, especially given the fact that they really do have one of the deepest Moose teams that they've had for quite some time. So not a great day for the Manitoba Moose in any regard, but they'll be right back at it tomorrow. And, you know, some people asking us to mention the Winnipeg Ice. They've won 6 games in a row. I think they've outscored their competition about 300-5. So Winnipeg's WHL team is rolling right now. So they deserve a kudos, because, you know, if the NHL team is letting you down, and the AHL team is letting you down, well, Winnipeg's also got a third option in the WHL team, which is picking some folks up, because they have a really good roster, and they're getting it done.
There you go. Ezzy, do you have a toughest comment for our good friends at Tough Duck that you can award a toque or a prize to tonight?
Yeah, we're going to give it to Paul Odette. Paul is a frequent viewer and listener of Legal Curve. A good offense starts by playing smart defensive hockey. I really think that is the key here for the Jets. I talked about the turnovers, and obviously, you know, there could be some more finish on the power play, but the Jets have to be better defensively. There have just been too many mistakes in the first couple of games, and it's come back to bite them.
Well, there you go. Paul Odette, congratulations, Paul. You can see his comment up on the screen right now. Paul, get in touch with Ezzy at ICEzzyG on Twitter, or Ezra@illegalcurve.com. Send him an email, send him a DM, get in touch with him. He'll make the arrangements to get you your prize from our good friends and sponsor of the show, Tough Duck. Gentlemen, on my second screen here, I see that Sean Reynolds has made his way to his hotel room in San Jose, and Kenny is somewhere in his house in presumably Winnipeg, but he doesn't have any lights on, so he's doing it in the dark. We might, you know, want to
Kenny after dark. Money.
Yeah, it's Kenny after dark. We might have to get Kenny a ring light or something.
You know what, boys? Like, we're burning the midnight oils. Like, when it's 12:30 in the morning, I think, you know, the light should be a little bit dim. If it was too bright, that would be kind of weird because, you know, we would normally be in bed, so there's nothing wrong with that.
Speak for yourself.
Dave's got lots of work to do. I'm going to go to bed, Ezzy. I think you should probably go to bed, too. You've got
lots to still go. I'm on illegalcurve.com, folks. So even though you're going to go listen to Sean and Ken, and we encourage that, make sure you come to illegalcurve.com. We'll have all the post-game. Morning papers up at 7 a.m. And smash that like button before you go to Sean and Ken, please.
There you go. Exactly right there. Want to give a shout-out to our sponsors. They make this show possible. Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, Zappia Group Realty, Boston Pizza, and our friends at both Seagram's and Tough Duck. Thanks to those fine businesses for supporting Illegal Curve Hockey. They make this show a possibility. We're going to be back on, when's the game in Minnesota? It's Tuesday night, right?
Monday.
Is it Monday? I thought it was Tuesday. Okay, that changes my entire schedule around that.
Maybe it is Tuesday. I don't know. It's late.
Dave, is it Monday or Tuesday? You're typing. You're on mute. You don't know what's going on. Anyways, we're back whenever the Jets and the Wild. If it's Monday, it's Tuesday. Thank you. I thought it was Tuesday, as he confused me when when he said Monday earlier in the show. So Tuesday night, we'll be back for the
Tuesday
game show, probably around 9:45 p.m., give or take a couple minutes there. You can see us Tuesday night for the post-game show, of course, Thursday night for the post-game show, and then Saturday morning, next Saturday morning, which is somehow, you know, it's been a long day, and it'll be a long next Saturday as well, because we're going to be doing it again with the doubleheader with the Jets game, and then the Jets, the IC hockey show, and then the Jets game. But lots of great content to come. Keep it locked to illegalcurve.com. For the man in the bottom, that's Ezra Ginsberg. For Dave Manouk, whose head continues to be on fire, I am your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks for joining us. This has been the Illegal Curve post-game show. Until Tuesday night, we wish you good night and good luck.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.